Hello, friends, and welcome to the Everyday Truth Podcast with Kurt Skelly. Our purpose is to show that the Bible is relevant to your life every single day, and we're glad you joined us here for the conversation. We're exploring the book of Zechariah and discovering the message that the King is coming. Now, let's hear what Kurt has to say.
Welcome back, my friends, to today's episode of Everyday Truth. We've been working our way through chapter 4 of the book of Zechariah, really just talking about one vision this entire chapter. And the one vision is, as a reminder, the candlestick, the golden candlestick. Maybe some of you have actually seen the golden candlestick, as I have in Jerusalem. And that golden candlestick is being fed through a really innovative system. There are pipes through which oil flows that are coming from a bowl. And that bowl is being fed by two branches of two olive trees on either side. So it's this whole system, this organic system, whereby the candlestick has a limitless supply of oil. And of course, we've learned already that oil is a symbol of God's Spirit and the fact that we have the Spirit of God without measure. It's not that we need more of the Spirit of God in our lives as believers. We have as much of the Holy Spirit as we'll ever have. It's how much of the Holy Spirit, how much of us does the Holy Spirit have? Yeah. You know, are we yielded to Him?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's at the moment of salvation we're indwelled by the Holy Spirit, but that doesn't always mean we're filled with the Holy Spirit. And like you said, that's up to us how much of our lives we'll let the Holy Spirit take control of. And it's when we're allowing the Holy Spirit to control us, we'll see, though, as we were talking about last podcast, those small victories that day by day, continually being led by Him in obedience to Him. And God doesn't just see the evil in the world. He beholds the evil and the good. And He sees those things that you're faithful to Him every day and what a motivation that is.
So, yeah, right. So we learned last episode that, you know, one day everyone will see the finished product, but the greater motivation is God sees. Mm-hmm. And not only does God see, but God sees in a clear way. So God, sometimes people see and they make wrong estimations or their vision is skewed, but the Lord is omniscient, the seven eyes of the Lord throughout the whole earth. He has comprehensive knowledge and clear vision. And that should be a great encouragement to us. Verse number 11, Zechariah chapter 4. Then answered I, so remember, Zerubbabel has been encouraged. You laid the foundation. You're going to finish it. Don't despise the day of small things. God's watching. God's encouraging. So Zechariah answers, having learned this now from this angel, verse 11, then answered I and said unto him, what are these two olive trees? So he still doesn't have a complete understanding of the whole vision. So he's asking some clarifying questions. What are the two olive trees upon the right side of the candlestick and upon the left side thereof? So not to belabor this point, Caleb, but you just have to love Zechariah's yearning for illumination. He really just wants to understand. He's not afraid to continue to ask questions.
Yeah, and that kind of goes back to a couple podcasts ago when we were talking about how Zechariah was humble enough to admit that he didn't know. And sometimes we think we're almost too prideful to ask when we don't really know something. And then other times, I feel that we might even be too nonchalant about the Word of God, or we're okay or satisfied with, we'll read a chapter and we don't know what 99% of it means, and then we see one familiar verse, like, oh, that's what I got from it, I'm okay with that. And here we just see Zechariah continually just admitting to say, God, I don't understand, but I want to understand. I want to know what your word says. I want to know. And the reason he wants to know is because he wants to know how that can be applied to his life, what benefit it has for him, how it can help him. And we need to go to God's word every day with that same mentality of, God, I might understand everything I read, but I want to, with your power, help me see that.
It's kind of like when you have a health condition, in our age at least, when you have a health condition, the first thing you want to do is you want to learn everything about it. So you're Googling, you know, you're going to WebMD, you want to know. Now, you didn't have an interest before in that kind of lymphoma. You didn't have an interest before in type 2 diabetes, but now that you've been diagnosed, now that it affects your life, now I want to know everything about it. I want to do a deep dive on it. So it's seeing the relevance of Scripture and seeing, so what has Zechariah seen so far in this vision? He's seen, oh, wow, the relevance of this vision. This applies to the completion of the project. This applies to our leader. This applies to God's spirit. This applies to our spirit. Wow, I want to know more. And that's the wonderful thing about understanding the Bible. Every level of understanding that we have with the Bible is going to fertilize a greater desire for more understanding. Mm-hmm. It gives us a lust for more.
Right. Yeah, it's an never-ending well of truth and wisdom in God's word. And it's just, you know, as Solomon describes so many times, just, you know, the truth and wisdom just as precious stones. And it's just, you think about the word of God, and like you said, the more you study it, the more you want of it, and the more it feeds your knowledge about other parts of Scripture too. You think even through these podcasts how many times you've referenced other passages of the Bible, and just as you continue to learn, it also opens up other parts of Scripture. And it's just so exciting just to see that natural desire come about, but also God's Spirit saying, hey, I'll help you along the way. I'll continually give you that wisdom. As James said, I'm willing to give you all the wisdom that you want. You just need to ask of it.
I like your assessment from a couple of minutes ago that when there's not a desire to understand, that lack of desire can be born out of pride or apathy. And so I would just ask each one of you listeners to maybe take a moment of self-examination, of self-inspection, and say, why is it in seasons in our life that we don't have a desire for God's word? I think that reflects sickness. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. If there's no hunger in our lives for righteousness, it might be a sign that we're spiritually sick and we've lost our hunger. And it's just anyway, I don't think that's the key to this passage, but I just find it refreshing that Zechariah has a continual desire to know what every part of this means. I want to know what every part of this means. So what are these olive trees? Verse 12, and I answered again and said unto him, what be these two olive branches? So it's not just that he wants to know what the olive trees are, but specifically about the tree, he's interested in the branch of the tree that is feeding the candlestick, the oil. So I answered again and said, what be these two olive branches which through the two golden pipes empty the golden oil out of themselves? So there's these pipes leading from these branches that fill this bowl, that fill the various lamps on the lampstand. We've described this before. Mm-hmm. So what are these branches? And to me, this is so encouraging because we've talked about it's God's spirit, it's God's grace, it's God that does the work. But watch how God does it. Verse number 13. And he answered me and said, knowest thou not what these be? That's the second time in this passage. The angel says, you really don't know? It's like, this is kind of like a snarky angel. It's like, I just kind of want to, you know, slap him. You know, are you kidding me?
Zechariah, give me a break. I just woke up.
Exactly. Don't you know what they are?
Yeah.
And Zechariah says, no, I don't. So again, all of what we've talked about, humility, and then watch verse 14, last verse of the chapter. Then said he, these are the two anointed ones. that stand by the Lord of the whole earth. So to me, clearly, the reference here in real time is to Zerubbabel and Joshua. So my anointed ones, these are the anointed ones. These are the ones whom I have chosen to complete this project. So I'm asking that those are the ones to whom the prophecies were written, Haggai and Zechariah. They were written to Zerubbabel and to Joshua. Mm-hmm. So, but you're the ones I'm anointing. You're my leaders. You're the ones through whom I'm working. God's Spirit is working in and through people. It's not that God in some nebulous way is going to do this project by sweeping the wind in and picking up these rocks and some kind of supernaturally assembling this temple. No, God's going to use real people who have real leadership capability, who are going to do real jobs, and they have real lives, and they really get tired. God's working through them like he worked through the human Jesus, the God-man Jesus. He's working in and through us. So there's the picture. It's the oil that runs through a live thing, an olive tree. And that oil that runs through a live thing is feeding this project. That's the point. The point is God uses people, Spirit-filled people. And in this case, he's talking about these two, Zerubbabel and Joshua, that he's using. The term anointed one means sons of oil. Hmm. Isn't that a cool
That's
thought?
Neat.
Sons
yeah.
of oil. And whenever you see that term in the Bible, son of, it means somebody who's characterized by whatever the object of the preposition is. So son of oil means characterized as those that are anointed, those that are Spirit-filled. Like James and John, the sons of thunder.
Yeah.
They were characterized by their anger and their bravado and all of that, right? So the sons of oil, Zerubbabel, Joshua, I'm using you guys.
Hmm.
That's it. What an encouragement.
Yeah. What a humbling thing. He sees this beautiful picture of the oil running through the branches and, as we said, all the way down until it got into the lamps or on the lampstand. And for him to now understand, okay, this oil is the Spirit of God, and this oil is not running out, it's limitless, it's by my power. But to think that he says, okay, this olive branches, that one of those is you, Zerubbabel. You're the one that I've chosen to utilize. And how humbling that is. And just to think that God, despite our imperfections, despite our failures, despite our lack of power and our lack of ability, God still says, hey, as long as you're willing, as long as you're willing to be filled with my Spirit, I'm going to use you for great and mighty things that you otherwise couldn't do.
I think about the song we used to sing a lot in yesteryear, Channels Only. Mm-hmm. Channels Only, Blessed Master. That's all we are, channels only, Blessed Master. But with all thy wondrous power flowing through us, thou canst use us every day and every hour. I love that song. Mm. Channels only, Blessed Master. But with all thy wondrous power flowing through us, thou canst use us every day and every hour. And the key here is God has chosen to use people. He wants us to be those pipes.
Yeah.
He wants us to be the ones through whom the oil flows, living people. So we know that Zerubbabel and Joshua were the ones he used in that generation. But I think you know this, Caleb, that the prophetic word on this is found in Revelation 11. In Revelation 11, the Bible describes two other anointed ones that will come in the tribulation period, Daniel's 70th week. And in the first half of the tribulation period, you can read this, my friends, if you look at Revelation 11, in the first 42 months, 3.5 years of the tribulation period, these two witnesses, whether it be Elijah and Enoch, Moses and Elijah, or two others. We don't know. Okay, I think Moses and Elijah. But whoever they are, there are two witnesses God is going to use. And the Bible says they are my anointed ones. The Bible says they are the olive trees and they're standing on the side. They're the exact same description is used. So it's like God uses people in every generation. Hmm. And just as he used people in this second temple, he's going to use these in the days of the third temple. And it's going to be Antichrist himself that kills them. And they lay dead for 3.5 years. Or 3.5 years. 3.5 days. Well, that'd be a long time to lay dead. 3.5 days. And then remember, God's going to resurrect them, and they're going to rise up slowly. And all the world will see, internet, TV, they're going to see this happen. And they're going to realize, wow, these were God's anointed ones. Now, what's interesting is for 3.5 years, they're going to minister and preach and do signs. But after 3.5 years, then everyone's going to see and know. Well, you know what? When God gave this vision to Zechariah, there were 3.5 years left to rebuild this temple.
Yeah.
And they finished it in 3.5 years. And then guess what? Everybody saw and everybody knew that these were God's anointed ones.
Wow.
So, I mean, just the Bible. I mean, come on. It's just awesome.
You can't make it up.
You can't make it up.
It's unreal. Yeah. And I love that point of it's God uses people in every generation. I think sometimes we look at God's word and we see some truths in it, and the story might be a little bit encouraging to us. We say, oh, that's neat. That's awesome how God worked then. And sometimes we fail to grasp the thought that that same God of that Bible is the same God who lives in us today, and he can still utilize us and still with our humility and our willingness to let him use us, he can still work great things through us.
So before Zechariah and Haggai encouraged these anointed ones, Zerubbabel and Joshua, they thought that they were two insignificant leaders on the backside of the Persian kingdom that were accomplishing nothing and had this huge task in front of them they would never complete. And what God says in verse 14 is, no, these are my two anointed ones that stand by the Lord of the whole earth.
Hmm.
I'm in control, and these guys, they're standing right next to me.
Yeah.
So there's the biblical perspective that you and I need today. Hey, we've taken way too long today, but I hope that it's been encouraging, and I hope that you'll come back and join us for chapter 5 next episode. God bless you, my friends.
Thanks for taking time to listen. If Everyday Truth matters to you, go ahead and subscribe to the podcast or share it with a friend. Until next time, God bless.